We had a really awesome day yesterday up on the Maunga.
In the wind?
Interestingly.
Oh, you're sheltered where
enough,
you were.
We had a big bait station day planned with a whole bunch of volunteers and some of who enthusiastically came along, and others, a group that was meant to come couldn't come, which was unfortunate. But people were really, you know, you're affected by the weather, right? You open up the curtains, you're like, oh my gosh. But anyway, the mountain was clear in the morning, and we did make a call to go ahead because it was a strong westerly.
Yeah.
But when we were actually up there, first of all, we were really sheltered.
Yeah.
In that kind of eastern bowl above Peacock's Farm there.
Mm.
And also, you know, like we had little tiny bits of rain, but they never got us in the forest. Like it was just, you know, you're quite sheltered. You really need quite a heavy downpour for it to get you in when you're in the bush.
Yeah, and that was coming through so fast that
the little
squalls weren't going to.
Yeah, so we had this amazing day up there.
That's cool.
And it's such good days being up there and doing that work, and knowing there's a whole bunch of people there doing the same stuff.
I think we talked last time about is you like to get out of the office.
Yeah, so good for me because I hadn't been up there enough. And so, for me, it's a complete treat to be up there. And it's good exercise and just awesome volunteers. Just, you know, and we actually get through to work. Like, you're actually only in the forest a couple of hours and you're out again. And by just after lunch, you're home again.
Yeah.
And there's always awesome food and lots of cake and cups of coffee and soup and all sorts of things, you know. So. Mm. So we try and make it fun, and we'll do another day tomorrow. And so if anyone's still keen to sign up and come and do some of that mahi with us, that would be awesome.
So what do you do with the bait stations? What are people actually doing aside from having soup and things?
Yeah. Well, that's a big, you know, big focus, eating cake and having soup. But when they're not, so basically you just go out. We usually they get dropped off at the bush line. And then take a pack and with bags of bait, so they're all pre-wrapped in doggy bags, biodegradable doggy bags, and then they just go pop a bag in the bait station every 50 meters, and so we have lines that are more or less challenging. So if you're a little bit less fit, we can kind of cater for that.
Yeah,
you do need to be a little bit bush shabby, like comfortable walking in the bush, and because
these are not wide dock tile style tracks for international tourists.
So they are cut and opened up and all marked with tags, but you know you're going up and down and crossing streams sometimes.
Are they kind of meant to be straight as well, so that you
they're reasonably straight, but we've cut them so that you're not cutting down any big trees. So it's more the supplejack and the smaller little trees that we kind of clear a little bit.
But it hasn't been cut to make the walk easy, has it? Because you want to get the bait stations all spread out properly.
There's a bit of both. Yeah.
Okay.
So the bait stations are lined up, but then there's a little bit of a, jiggle in the lines, depending on what you encounter along the way.
Not going to clamber over boulders or go up cliff faces.
No, no. So, but it's an awesome day, and we definitely, we've had amazing volunteer support, but this is the kind of work that, we have to go and fill the bait stations. It usually takes a couple of days, depending on how many volunteers we have, and then we need to clear them again in about 6 weeks' time, and then we'll go back again in spring and keep that work going. And so we're constantly monitoring to see what the activity levels are of rats and possums and stoats and that. And so this area that we're working in, there was about a 500-600 hectare block, and now we're expanding it to about 700-750 hectares. And so those edges still have significant kind of possum and rat numbers, but that central area where we've been working for the last couple of years is down below kind of even like 10% and 7%.
Okay, that's
so
pretty good.
So we're really knocking it back, and it's really going to bring those smaller birds back and really support that kind of breeding sites for birds.
Do you ever get to zero?
We do in some areas, but when you monitor, you always monitor across a broader area. And so out of, you know, every 10, say, wax tags, if you get one possum, you know, that brings it to 10%. But then another line that where we might monitor might get nothing.
Yeah.
And so then you average that out. So we've got like 7, 8, 9 monitoring lines, and across those lines you have a percentage. So the chance of having pockets of rats or possums in some places are always, you know, possible.
I suppose too, if once the bird life starts coming back, that's actually a food source. So
Yeah. So I mean, the big thing is that if we can keep it knocked down over spring, the birds get a chance to breed, you get lots more, you know, birds hatching and then going out. And then, you know, if they successfully breeding, they going out into the broader, you know, wider area. And like just yesterday, actually, someone who lives out Raglan West said, oh, I've seen grey warbler and, you know, all these different birds that we never saw before in our backyard. So, you know, like if you protect tui breeding sites, they'll come into town in different areas like they have in Hamilton to feed. So if you've got the food plants around and you've also got the breeding sites protected, it's a win-win for the birds.
Mm.
So it's kind of exciting because nearly on a weekly basis we're having people either reporting, you know, unusual birds like, you know, seeing falcon, hearing bats, you know, like grey warbler, you know, different little birds coming into their backyards and just really noticing the difference and saying, 10 years ago when I moved here, I never saw any of this stuff. So we're excited. And then, of course, that's anecdotal as people just noticing, but we also monitor these birds to see if they are on the increase.
You've been here longer than 10 years.
Oh, my gosh, I have been here longer than 10 years. I've been here. I keep trying to remember. I think it's 24 years.
Yeah, why did you say 10?
No, like people that have moved here 10 years ago. Because I'm talking in the scope of the project.
Right, yes, yeah. Since the project geared up. But even before then, people were... This is the thing I love about it, is that people were individually decided just to go up and start trapping around the mountain because it concerned them.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and there's been lots of possum trappers and, you know, like doing that stuff for ages. But unless you're like really nailing an area, like really getting it down consistently, you know, everything bounces back so quickly.
Yeah.
So especially rats, like obviously possums are breeding slightly slower. So you clear an area, you know, and they take the next year to breed again. But there's also all these pockets of remnant forest around the mountain. And what we're really noticing is that you might have a bush block that's only 5 hectare, you know, like on a 5 hectare block, a little bush block or something.
Yeah.
And we've done some of this work for people out Te Mata Way and that. And like they're literally pulling out 10, 15, 30, you know, even 30 possums out of a small block of forest. And those are the kind of blocks that we also want to target on, you know, private farms and small blocks, because that's where the possums are kind of invading from again.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they'll come back up the mountain, or they're sitting on the edges.
So it's a possum sanctuary.
Yeah, like little sanctuaries. And so we really, like our next year, we really want to push small landowners and, you know, private kind of bush block owners, I guess, to start trapping, and either we can do that for them and like we have a paid service, but also we can set them up to have traps on their own properties, because that'll make a huge difference for us as well and for them, you know, because they'll bring birds back as well and they can trap rats at the same time. And
eventually those bush blocks, they start to die out in the sense that there's no new tree. I've seen stuff on farms anyway, no new trees can grow because every time they pop up out of the ground they get eaten by something.
Yeah.
And so eventually you just end up with a bunch of very old trees that die off.
Yeah.
And the whole thing gets really unhealthy.
Yeah. It's really interesting kind of the, you know, how that happens, because you get, you know, possums and things eating, you get them, you know, rats and affecting seeds and regrowth, possums eating canopy, and also they also come in, out into the grass. And then like that strips some of the tree and then the wind gets in. And so you get a lot more breakage and trees falling, and then you get the holes in the canopy, and that starts that whole breaking down, you know, cycle. And But it's exciting. Like, even on my property, you know, it's been locked up for like 15 years probably, and the regeneration underneath it is amazing.
Right.
You know, and I've still got like Kahikatea and Puriri and Rimu and
so you had some big, some bigger trees.
Yeah, bigger trees, but like seeing what's coming up underneath them, and the birds bring in the seed and everything takes off again.
So you used to be able to walk through.
Yeah, yeah. And now you can hardly walk through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is amazing. Like, and all the planting that's been done by Harbourcare and different people that have done planting on their farms and around streams, all that's providing food now for the birds as well.
Yeah.
So that's a massive attractant for birds coming back into town.
It's funny, I saw this, stumbled on this video on YouTube the other night where they're talking about putting hedgerows back there. And a hedgerow is only as wide as a hedgerow, right? It's like a metre wide or something. But they said that that's making a significant change to the environment there because it's mostly farmland.
Mm.
And at least it's creating these connectors for small animals to safely get around the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is about providing the habitat, because we could do all the predator control in the world, but if there's no habitat, you know, animals aren't going to settle there.
Put traps all over concrete doesn't mean the birds will come back.
Yeah. So, but also, and I think this is, it's just so crazy, but, and this is kind of embarrassing to admit this for me, like, trapping, even if you don't have a lot of trees or backyard, makes sense, because you do get rats and mice and that got coming into houses, especially around autumn.
Yeah, I was just
and so
say
this is the time to prepare for it.
Mm.
And we've literally, and I think I've said this before on radio, where we've people have had their car wiring chewed out by rats. They've had their pipes and walls chewed out by rats, and I embarrassingly had to replace my dishwasher and it had been chewed out by mice.
Really?
Yes. And so I'm constantly trapping mice, especially as it gets colder, because they need food every day to keep, because they have really high metabolism.
Yeah.
So they're constantly looking for food and then probably also looking for water. And so, but they kind of probably nested in the back of my dishwasher. And then next thing, you know, the guys came and looked at it and they said, there's no point fixing this. It's been chewed out.
Oh, man.
So you know, like, it makes sense just in terms of looking after your house, you know, even if you don't have as many trees. Like, I think if everyone in this community can help towards, you know, trapping whatever is in their backyard, it's awesome, because collectively it makes such a difference.
Something else I know you can do in your backyard is, if you've got chooks, is get one of those chookateria things, where the chook gets their food by stepping on a little plate and raises the lid, because otherwise, we know from years ago, before we had one of those, that we were sustaining quite the rat and mouse population.
Yeah,
they were getting so much of it, and it must
they really know how to
get
in.
The project's probably pulling out its hair. There's all these rats coming from that house.
A lot of people too with, you know, compost bins, but you can actually just stick a trap inside the compost bin and catch, you know, often catch things.
But that's really challenging.
Yeah, but if you put it inside the compost bin.
Yeah, we've tried that. But yeah. It's
definitely challenging. Like, any food scraps or
because they
stuff,
get wise to it.
Yeah.
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 And
you can train the rats to come in.
You can train them
to eat your scraps.
Yeah. We had a problem this year with rats eating tomatoes off the vine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we have caught a couple of little beasties since then. But that wasn't what we wanted.
Yeah, and in town you get the big fat Norway rats, which are pretty gruesome.
Yeah, apparently, well, I didn't see that one, the first one, but apparently it was pretty big.
Yeah. So I think overall it just makes sense for all of us to get on board on this stuff. And we're really excited to see, like, what a difference it has made, and to kind of keep this work going. And I think more and more people are getting on board. But we do have our backyard hub, and we've got some plans to kind of do some promos in town in the coming months and get people on board and thinking about this stuff.
Remind us exactly what the backyard hub is again?
Backyard hub is basically, we have a trap library or trapping service, so we can come and either set you up to have traps in your own backyard. There's traps that you can buy from us. There's also traps that we can deploy for you and come and check them for you at a small cost. And depending on the size of your property, we set up the right number of traps. And then, we can kind of help you out with any of that. So just basically, if you want to trap, if you want to, you know, if you have predators and rats, possums, stoats, anything like that on your property, you know, people often come too, like they have stoats coming in and raiding their hens, chickens, you know, like and killing them.
Yeah.
So that's another good reason to trap.
Wow.
Yeah. So we can help with all of that, basically. It's just basically our kind of trapping outreach kind of
program. I feel like it's better to have some – people don't want to pay money, but it's a more effective way to do it because most of us are haphazard about things like that. We might go for several days without checking the trap when we should have checked it because and I had a rat on day one and spent 5 days before you turned up and emptied it. So there was 5 days where you could have been catching something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's – I mean – the thing is, if you catch a rat, I mean, it's obviously nicer to remove it straight away because then it hasn't got maggots all through it.
Yeah, but, that's a bonus.
Yeah, but once you trap a few, your trap will go quiet because if you had an endless supply of rats going in there, you'd probably have a major infestation on your hand.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, rats and all animals work in home ranges, so they only travel a certain distance and go a certain area and they'll have their little nesting site. So, you know, you might trap numerous rats and you might trap out a whole family, but then you would expect it to go quiet until new rats come in and reinvade that area.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if someone came to me and said, oh, I've been trapping 20 rats, you know, every day for the last 20 days, I'd be like, whoa.
Something's, Someone's actually breeding.
That's scary.
Yeah, someone's breeding, releasing rats next door.
Yeah. So if you're a little bit haphazard sometimes with your trap checking, you know, it's not the end of the day, but if you're checking it every couple of weeks at least, that's good. And if you haven't checked it for a few months, then and you're listening to this today, then go and check it today.
Do it today. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You won't get rained on. There's no wind.
Yeah.
But also actually a really important piece of information, how long before the carcass gets gruesome? Because that might be the motivating factor for a lot of people.
Yeah. It really depends on the weather because if it's been really rainy and it gets really slimy and yuck, but yeah, like in summer, like within the week, you know, it's full of maggots and that.
So don't leave any longer than a week, folks.
Yeah.
Because you won't like the result.
No, it's disgusting. But at the end of the day, you can chuck it into the bush or your compost or whatever. It just decomposes and, you know.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
Yeah, and you do want to look after your traps. You know, you don't want to keep them clean and, you know, then they won't rust so quickly and, you know, and put kind of nice fresh bait in. You know, just to keep it attractive for animals coming in. And also the other thing that we often people say, oh, my trap's not catching anything, is that you can just move it a few meters even or 5 meters and then it might catch something. So sometimes just moving a trap because animals will become suspicious or whatever and then you move it and they'll go and check it out again. So no trap is the 100% solution for every animal. And we do we have done a lot of camera work where we've watched traps and even bait stations and watched to see how an animal interacts with it. And some animals will go in and other animals will just sit on top of the trap and they won't go in.
It's really annoying.
It's really annoying. So that it is, you know, there's no real exact science to it.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep trying different things.
It's an art.
It is a bit of an art,
crazily.
Yeah. And we're still trying to figure it out ourselves. You know, we try lots of different things and lots of things work, but nothing's 100% effective. So you got to use different tools to get all the animals you want.
Cool. All right, good advice there, Crystal.
Yeah, interesting stuff, eh, on a Wednesday morning.
How to kill small animals.
Yeah.
That's New Zealand environmental work, though, isn't it? It's so much of that. Yeah.
Yeah, sadly it is. But in return, we get some beautiful bird life that's unique to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Crystal, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, folks, we're going to have a little break. And we're going to be talking to Debs, actually, from the old school in about 15 minutes, find out what's happening at the market this weekend.